Yesterday we went through, started to go through, the red cell maturation process. So we started out with a Ruber blast or a pronormal blast. So we look at the size, we look at the cytoplasmic, nuclear to cytoplasmic ratio, we look at the color of cytoplasm, we look at the chromatin pattern in the nucleus, and we look for nucleoli, and we try to figure out what stage it's in. So this is a Ruber blast. This is a pro-normal, this is a basophilic normal blast or a pro-Ruber site. So we said that you're going to see a lot of mitochondria that don't stain. You're going to start to see a little bit of clumping of the chromatin and parachromatin starts to appear. They start to make hemoglobin at the very end of the stage, so you see more of a gray-blue color. So here was the early stage, the late stage. Basophilic means it takes the basic stain. So the basic stain is blue. And so the more RNA you have, the bluer it is, the less RNA you have, then it's not quite as blue. But you also start to make hemoglobin, which makes kind of a gray color. So here's a basophilic normal blast. And then it matures to a Ruber site, which is polychromatophilic normal blast. Polychromatophilic means you see the red start to come in there. So red plus blue is kind of gray, and then it gets more pink as the stages progress.
Is there a difference between polychromatophilic or polychromatic?
Nope, same thing. Okay, so here is polychromatophilic. Here's a real one, and I think that's where we ended. So the next stage then is orthochromic normal blast. It's also called a metaruberosite. This is when the nucleus becomes pycnotic. Pycnotic means it's a big blob. There is no parachromatin. It's clumped so much that you can't see any light in there. And again, it's going to take a little while to do that. It doesn't just do it all at once. But as this becomes orthochromic normal blast, this pycnotic nucleus is going to be extruded from the cell. And so this happens in the bone marrow. You do not see nucleated reds normally out in the peripheral blood. If you do, it's abnormal. So while it's in the bone marrow, it undergoes all these contortions. And most textbooks will tell you it's in order for it to get rid of this nucleus, it has to go through some process to get it out of there. It's kind of like having a baby. So it's going to push it out before it comes out into the peripheral blood. And so it's just picked up by a macrophage and degraded. So again, we go through these stages. So it's not going to be pycnotic all at once, but you see very little parachromatin. So here's a real one. So you can see that you just can't see the parachromatin. It's so condensed. Okay, so look at the cytoplasm color. There's still a hint of blue in there because there's still lots of RNA. So once it extrudes its nucleus, then it becomes polychromatophilic erythrocyte, meaning it doesn't have a nucleus. Okay? So it has still many colors because it has a blue tinge to it. And the other name that we called that was what?
Reticulocyte.
And really, technically, we shouldn't say reticulocyte because reticulocyte is when a cell is stained for reticulum and you can actually see it. We have to use a special stain to do that, but we do call it that. So here's the birth of a reticulocyte or polychromatophilic erythrocyte. So this is the peripheral blood in the middle. This is where you're going to see the blood that circulates through the system. It's got to come from the bone marrow and get into the peripheral blood. So it's going to release that nucleus before it comes through. So it will squeeze out the nucleus and come through into the peripheral blood. So once it's out in the peripheral blood, it stays a polychromatophilic erythrocyte for about 72 hours. It takes about 3 days for it to mature into a mature red cell without its nucleus. So it's going to have a slight tinge of blue until it matures completely.
Can you tell me that time period one more time?
72 hours. So we said that a mature red cell is about the same size. Well, it's about 7 microns. And so the way you can tell without a micrometer on your microscope is to look at a mature lymphocyte. And the nucleus of a mature lymphocyte is about the same size as a red cell. So you have a built-in micrometer. So a regular old red cell is called a discocyte. So it's not a disco, S-I-T-E. Okay, it's not where you go do disco. This is a discocyte. Okay, so this is the genealogy chart then, like your pedigree chart, of a red cell. So it starts out as a stem cell, first recognizable cell that we can identify as a pronormal blast. It can divide, so it can replicate itself. Okay, it then matures into a basophilic normal blast, which is still capable of mitosis. So it can divide. Then it matures into a polychromatophilic normal blast. It still can divide. Okay, and at the end of the polychromatophilic normal blast, it becomes an orthochromic normal blast. It cannot divide because that's a pycnotic nucleus. So it's not capable of division after that stage. So it can go through how many mitotic divisions? 1, 2, 3, 4. So each stem cell can produce 16 red blood cells after division. And it goes through 4 mitotic divisions. So how long does it take to go from a pronormal blast to a red blood cell? Well, if you add all those up in days, you're about 3 to 5 days probably that it takes to make 16 red cells. The reticulocyte lasts about 3 days in the blood. And then once you have a mature red cell, it lasts about 120 days. So about 1% of your blood cells are replaced every day. So a normal reticulocyte count would be about 1 to 1.5 to 1, right around that percentage. So we do have ranges for that, but that's what we look at. Okay, so we've gone through looking at a pluripotential stem cell to saying, okay, it's multipotential, and what we're going to do is produce a red cell. And so it's going to go through that line and become a red cell. So if you want to look at it as far as pictures, then we're coming from that stem cell that we call pluripotential or multipotential, going through the pronormal blast and producing an erythrocyte. So you okay with that? So you know the terms? Okay. So let's go then to okay, now what we want to do is go down through some other lines. So we said granulopoiesis is the production of a granulocyte, which is one of the types of white blood cells. So now we go through a different line. We're still going through the GEMM line, but we're going to come out and produce some granulocytes. So our first recognizable cell that we can identify that's going to become a granulocyte is called a myeloblast, which then matures to a promyelocyte, or it's also called a promyeloblast, either one, which then matures to a myelocyte. And then the myelocyte is the first stage where you can tell what kind of granulocyte it's going to be. And so we'll go through these, but the myelocyte could be a neutrophilic myelocyte, an eosinophilic myelocyte, or a basophilic myelocyte, depending on what granules it's going to produce, which then matures to a metamyelocyte, to a band, and then finally to a mature granulocyte. So we're going to go through each one of these stages. So here's a graphic again. So the myeloblast is the earliest cell. You'll be able to see nucleoli. Most myeloblasts have 3 to 4 nucleoli. And we say most because you're going to see ones that have 1, but most of the time they have 3 or 4. then matures to a promyelocyte. So it starts making granules at the late stage of omyeloblast. But most of the nonspecific granules that it makes show up when it's a promyelocyte or promyeloblast.
I was just wondering, in the previous scheme, it was promyeloblast?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Either one.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Most put promyelocyte, but you can put promyeloblast.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Okay, then a myelocyte, then a metamyelocyte, then a band, and then a segmented form. So what it's looking at is the nucleus, basically. So if you notice the nucleus, okay, it gets smaller, right? You see less nucleoli. And then when it starts to pinch off and start to segment, that's the first sign that it's going to be a metamyelocyte. So the myelocyte has a completely round nucleus, but we're going to look at the granules as well. The band form pinches even more, and then finally it's going to segment off. No. Name. Description. We'll get into looking at them next week.
So description, yes, but...
So here again is the picture. So we have the promyeloblast. We don't know what it's going to become, which granulocyte. Produces very few granules. Very, very few granules. Usually as an early myeloblast, you won't see granules.
On the last slide, really quick. So what exactly is pinching up? Is it the nucleus?
The nucleus. Mm-hmm. We'll go through it again. So now the characteristic of a promyelocyte is that it starts to make nonspecific granules. So look at all the granules in the cytoplasm as compared to a myeloblast. So what color are they if they're nonspecific? Kind of pinkish lavender. Okay. Then it becomes a myelocyte. A myelocyte means it's making specific granules, meaning they're either neutrophilic, basophilic, or eosinophilic. So neutrophilic is still pink, but they're very delicate, pinkish lavender granules. Basophilic are dark blue granules, and eosinophilic are red to orange granules. So that's when we know, at that stage, it makes specific granules, meaning it's a specific kind of granulocyte. So when we see the different color of granules, it's a myelocyte. Okay, when it starts to pinch the nucleus, it starts to indent. As soon as you see any indentation, it becomes a meta. Okay? And then as it pinches more, it becomes kind of a U-shape, and that's when we call it a band. And then it starts to segment pieces of the nucleus, and you may be able to see the connections between them, and you may not, depending on how heavy the granules are. But you see at least more than one lobe of nucleus. So here's a little closer picture. So the only thing you have to remember for the maturation of the granulocytes is you start out with a myeloblast, little to no granules in the cytoplasm. You're going to have delicate chromatin in the nucleus, and you can see nucleoli. Okay, if you look at the color of the cytoplasm, it's a lighter blue color than if you're talking about a red cell series. Because remember, the rubroblast had really dark blue cytoplasm. This is a sky blue.
What makes that difference in the color of the cytoplasm?
Just the cell itself and the amount of RNA that's staining. Okay? So the promyelocyte, promyeloblast, what you're going to look at now is the production of granules. But they're called nonspecific granules. So it's not telling you what kind of granulocyte it's going to be. So the granules are kind of a pinkish lavender color. Then it goes to a myelocyte. So now you have to distinguish, is it a basophilic myelocyte, neutrophilic myelocyte, or eosinophilic myelocyte? Then you look at the nucleus. As soon as it starts to indent, it becomes a metamyelocyte. So the first indentation you see, you call it the next stage. Okay, when it starts to become a U, and Jan will go through this, you have to draw lines through it, and if they cross, it becomes a band. But she'll go through that with you again when you start looking at them. If you get a U-shaped nucleus, it's called a band. And then they start to segment. Okay, so how many times is a red cell precursor capable of dividing? Okay, so what do we say? Four, right? It occurs in three stages, but it can divide four times. Okay, oops, no. All right. What's the first stage that shows specific granules in the granulocytes? It's a myelocyte. Okay, remember a promyelocyte has non-specific granules. Okay, so this is a myeloblast. Okay, what we're looking for then is the size of the cell, so it's pretty big. Look at the NC ratio. Pretty high, isn't it? Mostly nucleus. What are these things? Nucleoli, right? So you can see how nice and pretty they are. Okay, this is sort of a sky blue color as opposed to the basophilic color of a red cell. This is a promyelocyte. So how do I know the difference? Look at the granules. Lots of granules, right? So it's the next stage, promyelocyte. You can still see what right here? Nucleoli, okay. But it's still a real high NC ratio, not very much cytoplasm. Okay, here's a myelocyte. So now I see specific granules. They're kind of a delicate pink lavender color. Not as high an NC ratio, right? You don't see any nucleoli, right? Okay, so that's why it's a myelocyte. Which kind of myelocyte? Neutrophilic. Okay, then what makes this a metamyelocyte? Okay, as soon as you see any indentation, these are still granules out here. Okay, so they're really delicate. They're specific. Okay, this is a band. So now you see the nucleus has kind of formed the U shape, and it's still got the pink lavender granules. So if you can't see them, hallucinate. Okay, this is a segmented. And the reason we call it segmented is because these have become really pinched off, and this one's probably overlapping and pinched off. So it is a mature neutrophil. And we use slang in the lab. You can't imagine that, right? We don't say a segmented neutrophil. We call them polys or segs. It's just too hard to say segmented neutrophil. Okay, the ones that don't like their picture taken are eosinophils. And for some reason, the camera cannot capture the red-orange color. So the way you're going to tell an eosinophil is look at the size of the granules. Can you see how big those are compared to the neutrophil? Hallucinate reddish-orange here. Okay, this is a myelocyte. Okay, so we know it's going to grow up. Here's a neutrophil. So look at the difference between the size of the granules.
So it will be clear, like, when we're in the lab actually looking at it?
You wish. Oh. You're going to have to hallucinate, too. Now, this one is an eosinophilic metamyelocyte. Why? The granules are big. They're a little bit dark, but they're still reddish-orange as compared to a basophil that I'll show you in a minute. Okay, this is a neutrophil. Can you see they're not the same, at least? So the first thing is you got to recognize there's a difference. Then you start to differentiate. Okay, this is a band. So can you see the U-shape? Can you see the size of the granules here? The reason they don't take very good pictures is their granules are water-soluble, so they wash out as you wash out the stain. And this is a segmented eosinophil. How do I know? I can't see the line here, but there's not three nuclei in a segmented neutrophil. It's just pinched off, and you can't see it because you're looking at a flat plane. Okay, hallucinate reddish-orange. Big granules. Okay, now, compared to a basophil, basophils are really rare. They also have some water-soluble granules, but you will see a few in there that are huge granules in their dark blue. So this is a myelocyte, basophilic myelocyte. So the nucleus is roundish, right? As opposed to a metamyelocyte. You can't really see this too good right here, but it started to pinch in. But look how big those are, and they're dark. This is a band. These granules are so huge that it's hard to even see their nucleus. They're just stacked on top of each other.
So the eosinophilic and the basophilic granules are huge. How are you going to differentiate?
Color.
By color.
This, so these are see how blue these are?
So those are long term. You see anything a little bit more transparent.
There are less of them because not all of them stain. They're a little bit larger and they're dark blue. So here's a segmented. They're so dense you can hardly see the nucleus. So this has a band here and a band here of nucleus. But you notice that the granules are huge and they're dark blue. They're also really rare to find them. Okay, so you okay with granulocytes?
Can we real quick just see a picture of the eosinophil next, like, and then compare it to a basophil real quick? Because both of them have large granules, and if we're going to be able to distinguish it based on that.
Okay, but look at how dark these are.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're big, but not quite as big, and they're lighter, and hopefully they'd be reddish-orange.
I don't see any reddish-orange.
You have to hallucinate.
Here's some drugs.
Oh. See, that's what I said. They don't like to show up their red. They're kind of a, I don't know, what would you say? That one's a little redder?
Yes.
That one looks more.
But they're not as...
They're not as big and they're not as dark blue. Under real life, if you stain them good, you'll see them. And we do have some really good stains up there. But when they try to take the picture, they don't want it.
Can you just point out the difference between those two? You're just looking at the one on the left, the arrow.
Right.
What's the one on the right?
We're not there yet. You don't know that one yet.
Oh, okay.
The only one we're looking at is right here.
Is that a neutral color on the right?
Mm-mm. Too blue. So to find these is really difficult. But we're going to talk about lymphocytes now. These are easy because there's only two stages. So we start out as a stem cell, total potential, and it's going to either grow up to be a GEMM, or a lymphocyte. We're going to go lymphocyte side. So its first one you can identify as a lymphoblast, then matures to a lymphocyte. So it's easy. So remember the lymphoid system. It can either grow up to be a T or a B lymphocyte. So if it's in the influence of the thymus, it becomes a T lymphocyte. If it's into the influence of a bursa equivalent, chicken, bone marrow is what we think of in humans, it's going to be a B cell. Can you tell the difference looking at them? Nope. All we can say is lymphocyte. We have to have special tags on them to tell the difference. I mean, sometimes we can guess, but you can't do it just looking at them. So what we're saying is, here is a lymphocyte stem cell. Lymphoblast is the first cell we can see. It's going to grow up to be a T lymphocyte or a B. And you remember that the B lymphocytes undergo change, become a plasma cell, which express antibody-producing cells. And the T lymphocytes are memory cells. So if we look at the pictures of them, here's a lymphoblast. So again, look at this. This is kind of a sky blue color. There are no granules in lymphocytes. There are things we call dust, but not true granules. Can you see these nucleoli? Lymphoblasts usually have 1 to 2. And I say usually again. But the chromatin's really delicate. Okay, it's a lighter color than the condensed chromatin down here. A mature lymphocyte has very little cytoplasm. It can differ depending on whether it's a B lymphocyte or not. But a real mature one, this nucleus is about the same size as a mature red cell. So it has a thin rim of cytoplasm, and it's usually a really sky blue color. So here's a lymphoblast. Okay, you can hardly even see the cytoplasm, right? Just not very much. Okay, you're looking then at the nucleus. What's this?
Nucleoli.
Okay. Really delicate, not very much chromatin that's clumped. So it's going to be smaller than a myeloblast, probably. Smaller than a rubroblast. The sky blue color might help you. The other thing that's going to help you is what does it hang out with? You know, so we don't normally see lymphoblasts, but if you see one, you're going to see more than one. Okay? So we look at that as well. So here's a mature lymphocyte. Now, this looks kind of pinkish, so you have to hallucinate a little more blue. So it depends on the stain. It really does. And so if your stain's too acid, it's going to be too pink. If it's too basic, it's going to be too blue. So you have to be able to adjust your mind and say, is that a red cell with that huge nucleus in there? No. It's not even an orthochromic normal blast, right? Because it's not pycnotic enough. The other thing is we'll see some little lines in here if we get another one. Let's look. Nope, I'll have to come back to it. Okay, so all we go is from lymphoblast to lymphocyte. So easy, right? Okay, monocytes. So monocyte, macrophage, they're kind of the same thing. So monocyte, what's its main purpose in life? Phagocytize, it's a garbage can cell. It runs around and cleans up. Anything dead, looking funny, it'll gulp it. So we go only 3 stages, monoblast, promonocyte, monocyte. It also is the largest cell that circulates in your peripheral blood as far as white cells. So it's going to be the big one. And it has cytoplasm that just flows. So it's really a versatile cell. So this is the drawing. So if you look at a monoblast, NC ratio is high, you can see nucleoli. Promonocyte, lots more cytoplasm, condensed chromatin, then it goes to a monocyte. Okay, what we're looking for in a monocyte is sort of a kidney bean-shaped nucleus. We're looking for kind of a gray-blue color cytoplasm. And there might be some pink dust in the cytoplasm. Because it's really not a granulocyte, so it's not a true granule. So it's just azurophilic dust. But the thing that's going to help us with monocytes is It's going to have phagocytized stuff and digested it. So many times it'll have vacuoles. So here again, these are drawings, but it helps us. Okay, so we're looking at high NC ratio. You can see nucleoli, delicate chromatin. Then it starts to sort of fold up. So we're looking for a convoluted, folded nucleus. Can't see nucleoli very common. But see the dust out here that looks like pink somethings? It's not true granules, but it has some dust in it. And then here's a real mature monocyte. So it's big, about 7 to 10 microns. It's got a folded nucleus. It'd be nice if it was just a kidney bean shape, but it's folded. It's turned over, and it has dust in the background. And it's a blue-gray background. So this is a monoblast. So, again, quite a big cell, isn't it? It's going to be bigger probably than a myeloblast. Not as big, maybe as a rubroblast. But the color out here is not basophilic like in a rubroblast. So here's the delicate chromatin. So you know it's real young. Now it matures to a promyelocyte, monocyte, pardon me. Here's the cytoplasm. Can you see the grayish blue color? It's also started to make vacuoles because that's its job is to phagocytize. And its nucleus has started to kind of fold over. The chromatin's more clumped. Monocyte's a little bit littler. And now you see the folded nucleus, lots of clump chromatin.
I thought the vacuoles were at the monocyte stage.
They can be anywhere where it can phagocytize. So it's helping you distinguish between a myelocyte and a promyelocyte. Okay, so this is the kidney bean shaped nucleus. It's more clumped. You can see dust in the background. There's some vacuoles. It's hard to see them, but see the size of it? So it's the largest. So if these are 7 microns, this is pretty big, isn't it? So it's the largest in there. So you got to go by size as well.
And the promonocyte is larger than the monocyte?
Mm-hmm. Because what happens when your cells mature, they get less cytoplasm and their size goes down. Okay, for a plasma cell, you do not see plasma cells normally out circulating in the bloodstream. So plasma cells are the ones that B cells go into a plasma cell and then the plasma cell expresses the antibodies. So it doesn't happen out in the circulation. So we can identify plasma cells in bone marrow. So it goes from a plasma blast to a proplasmocyte to a plasma cell. So we see a little bit difference. Okay, the difference is plasma cells have an eccentric nucleus. So here it's hard to tell. This is really delicate. Can you see that it's real immature? So you can see nucleoli. You can see the delicate chromatin pattern. But look how dark blue this is. It reminds you of a what? Right, rubroblast. Okay. Okay, now what you can tell the difference is look at the eccentric nucleus. It starts pushing to one side. And you develop this clear area that remains called a HOF, H-O-F. It doesn't stain. Okay, so it's an eccentric nucleus with a HOF. And the background is a brilliant, pretty blue color. Deep purplish blue. So these are plasmas. Don't usually see them. So here's a real one, plasma blast, right up here. Why does it have these? Because these cells start to produce antibodies. And so sometimes they'll have little areas that are occluded. They're not phagocytic. But see where the nucleus is in this one? Okay, it's starting to develop a HOF right here. but its background, if this were a red cell, what color would the cytoplasm be by now? Because this would be a late... Cytoplasm would start taking on hemoglobin color, right? So it'd be more pink or gray.
How does the plasma blast compare to the lymphoblast? Because they look pretty similar to me. Is one bigger?
They're both from the same cell, right?
Yeah.
So what we're going to have to do is to look how it grows up. Like I said, they're not going to just be one. They're going to be the whole series. Okay? These are darker. If it was a lymphoblast, it'd have a lighter blue cytoplasm. But they're the same cell line, basically. So here's a nice plasma cell. So why is it a cell? Because look how clumped this is. So it's very mature. What's this called? Okay, so it's an eccentric nucleus, and this is really deep blue, isn't it? Okay. Okay, platelets. Platelets come from a cell called a megakaryoblast, which then goes to a promegakaryocyte, which then goes to a megakaryocyte. What do you remember about megakaryocytes? Where do they grow up? Next to the fenestra, so they can stick their pseudopods through and let off platelets. So these are the platelet-producing cells. And these are really interesting because when they divide, they don't separate their cytoplasm. So they get bigger. And it's the only one that does. So here's a megakaryoblast. But you see how rough-looking the edge is? It's not a circle like most of the cells we've looked at. Okay, now it's starting to undergo division, but it doesn't pull its cytoplasm apart and make daughter cells. What it does is just to replicate its nuclei. So here again, it's pulling apart, but now these the cytoplasm becomes really granular looking. And what it does is stick its arms through, and then all these little platelets get brushed off into the bloodstream. So we don't see normally any of these cells in the peripheral smear. All we see is these. And they're really not a cell. We call them a cell, but they're just pieces of cytoplasm. Why do we need them? Clotting. Okay.
So the granules we see is the megakaryocyte part platelet?
Yep. So it takes it time to mature to do that.
Are platelets like something that the cell actually manufactures or just kind of breaks off of the cell?
It just breaks off the cytoplasm. This is the cytoplasm and these are pieces of cytoplasm. But we call them thrombocytes.
So are they proteinaceous or are they lipid bilayer type stuff like blobs?
Yeah, we'll go through. It's amazing that there can be 1 to 2 microns and they have all these parts to them.
So like with a lot of other cells, it's like they're more uniformly shaped. The platelets is like one platelet extremely different shape from another one?
Can be. Depends on how many you make, how many break off. So there are diseases where you have too tiny, too big. And we have to get to that part. So all you're doing now is memorizing the series and what makes up the series. So here's a megakaryoblast. The thing that helps me find a megakaryoblast is, look, these little blebs that are hanging on there, that's really characteristic of a megakaryocyte family. And this is a blast because if we look at this nucleus, it's really delicate. So now it's going to divide, but remember it doesn't pull apart. So it's going to have more nuclei. So it looks like it's growing, right? So here's a promegakaryocyte. So again, we've got kind of a delicate chromatin, but it started to divide, only it didn't pull apart the cytoplasm. So now the next stage is for it to get granular. So see how granular the cytoplasm is? And these are developing platelets. So it's going to drop those off into the bloodstream. So this has got 1, 2, 3, probably 4 nuclei in there.
And what media is it?
Can you point those out?
Excuse me?
What is this slide still
in the bone marrow?
In the bone marrow. We don't see them in the peripheral smear. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Because it's divided twice, probably. Because you don't get 3. Okay. Then when we look in the peripheral blood, what are we looking at?
Platelets.
So here's a bigger one. Here's a regular. Here's a little one. So they're really all sizes. Okay, so are you good with all the normal stuff? So let's go through red cells and name them. Okay, can you remember the nomenclature? Rubroblast, pronormal blast. What's the next? Prorubricite, basophilic normal blast. What's the next? Rubricite, polychromatophilic normal blast. Metarubricite, orthochromic normal blast. Polychromatophilic erythrocyte. So as soon as they lose their nucleus, what's the other name for a polychromatophilic erythrocyte?
Just
reticulocyte. Then what's the mature one?
Retinus.
Okay, discocyte. Okay. Well, that'd be really neat, but guess what? They all don't develop that way.
Damn.
You want a lecture, Jeannie?
I don't know enough.
Who are you looking for?
Alex.
Really?
Is he in trouble?
After class.
Okay, so if they don't develop right, then we have a different name for them. So one of the things that keeps your nucleus and your cytoplasm the way it should be normally is vitamin B12. If you don't have enough vitamin B12, it's going to make your red cells develop abnormally. So when we say megalo, what does that mean to you?
Big.
Okay. So a megaloblast or a megalocyte is going to be a huge cell. And if it's a huge cell, we call it a macrocyte. Macro, big, right? So we're going to go from what you're looking at is the synchrony between the nucleus developing and the cytoplasm developing. So you've already kind of got in your mind what it should do normally. Now we look at this cell. Okay. Can you see that the cytoplasm is ahead of the nucleus? The nucleus should be more clumped, right? So it's out of synchrony. And so this, look how huge that thing is. When it extrudes its nucleus, it comes out. It's still a polychromatophilic because it has some blue, but it's huge. So we call it a macrocyte or a megalocyte. So these cells are 8 to 9 to 10 microns when you see them in the peripheral blood smear. So we just add megaloblast at the end, meaning there's asynchrony. So that's how we do it. And we'll go through diseases later. So again, you go from a promegaloblast to, and this is 1, but you can see how huge that is already before it's even started to develop. Look at the size of the nucleus. Okay, 2. Maybe I can get past it. Basophilic megaloblast. Now, if it's a basophilic megaloblast, again, look at the size, but see how dark this is, and this thing is lagging behind. It should be more clumped, shouldn't it? The chromatin. So we just put megaloblast. Here's a polychromatophilic megaloblast. If it's polychromatophilic, how much? You should see more gray and pink, right? Okay, if it's gray and pink, this should be more clumped. So can you see they're not in synchrony? So then what we produce is orthochromic. Okay, if it's an orthochromic, shouldn't this be really pycnotic and you don't see any parachromatin? But it's not. It's lagging behind. Look at the size of this. That's huge. No wonder we call it a megalocyte.
That almost looks like a megakaryocyte. The last one.
It doesn't have any granules.
Right.
Okay, here's our cell. This is a whole cell right here. Look at the size of that red cell. This is out in the peripheral blood. This shouldn't be in there, should it? Should have been gone. So when it comes out and it's that huge, we call it a macrocyte. Macro meaning big, as a, compared to a discocyte. Okay, the other thing is that you'll see them called oval. So oval, we already said they should be round. This one's not round. So you see all the oval ones? They're oval and they're big, then you got a B12 problem. Okay. Now, what if it doesn't have enough iron? Do you remember the process when you suck out iron from a nurse cell? Rhofiocytosis, yeah. Okay, what if you don't have enough iron? You can use the same nomenclature, but at the end you say iron deficient, or you say iron deficient rubroblast, iron deficient whatever. And when you come out at the end, instead of being a normal size cell, it's going to be little. So we call it a
microcyte.
Okay, so iron deficient, not enough iron. So it starts out here. Okay, look at the thin rim of cytoplasm. Usually have, look at this poor thing. Does that look kind of shaggy to you? Look at this one. So look at this reticulocyte. And look at what happens when they come out without any iron. So not only are they little, microcytic, but they don't have enough hemoglobin because you didn't have enough iron. And so their color is below normal. So what would we say? Hypochromic. So here's an iron deficient pronormal blast. So you can already see that it's kind of got shaggy cytoplasm on it. Here's a basophilic normal blast. So look how little cytoplasm there is. Here's a polychromatophilic. Should be gray, right? Not enough pink. Why? We don't have any iron. Okay, here are some orthochromic. So look at the cytoplasm. Does it look real normal to you? Shaggy. So this is what comes out. So how do we know these are little? What would we have to have in here to tell us they're little if we don't have a micrometer?
A lymphocyte?
A lymphocyte. A normal, mature lymphocyte should be the same size as its nucleus. But there's a reticulocyte. Look at it. It looks awful. So is anybody in here iron deficient so we can show everybody what neat iron deficiency looks like? So not only are they little, so you say microcytic, but if you look at the color, remember we said how much of it should be without color? One third. If it's more than one third, it's hypochromic. So look at this. Look at this. Look at this one. Do you see any color? Nope. So it's hypochromic microcytic. Here's some more. So can you tell that those are hypochromic? More than one third of it. Okay. You like this one? Is that little enough for you?
So, Dr. Anderson, the one directly beneath the one, the left-hand arrow, is a cell directly. Is that a normal cell?
This?
Far left-hand cell, the far left-hand arrow.
This?
Right there. Is that like
yeah,
a
that's
normal
probably
cell?
Pretty normal. We don't know the size. Okay. So tomorrow we're going to do red cell abnormalities, and I'll tell you what will be on the test where we're going to stop. So go through your atlas again, because if you notice, we got one second.